How to do it. Okay, gentlemen. Good morning. Today's daf is very exciting, and it's clear as could be because it's daf tzadik ches, and we're holding right on the bottom of daf tzadik zayin on the base. Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan. Hazorek Rishut Harabim. Rishut Harabim. Rishut Hayachi Be'emtza. We discussed the case yesterday, according to Revi, where we have a baseball going through somebody's living room. Oh, we didn't do? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Didn't realize we stopped. Oh, that's right. We stopped early. That's right. Oh, you're sorry. Pshita. Okay, the second double line, the second ikudotai from the bottom. Pshita. Nitkaveh lizrok shmone, mizarak arba, harekatav shem mishimon. The Gemara asserts, and this assertion is questioned later, which is rare. Usually a pshita is a pshita and stays a pshita. Okay, but let's assume for a moment. And that's why we should read this pshita. Let's assume for a moment, and take as given, that if somebody had a kavanah to throw something 8 amot, and instead it landed 4 amot from where he threw it. Okay. Hare katav shem mishimon. It's the same thing as writing the word shem from the word shimon. You wrote 2 letters. Your kavanah of writing a name, even if you want to go out to the kach, was also the same, because shem is a name, shimon is a name. So you would be chayav. However, what about if your kavanah was to throw it 4 amot and instead you threw it 8 amot? What would be the din? Do we say, look, the bottom line is, you've gotten it out, haven't you? Do we say, but it didn't arrive at the place that you wanted it to arrive? So since you only wanted it to be at point A and it followed through and didn't land until point B, you wouldn't be fine. Wait a second. Let's just remember the closing words that we had yesterday. Closing words that we had yesterday was Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, Lamai de Solaka Daitan mi Kora, to Mafayavai Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. The way that you were reading it. Remember, yesterday we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be Chayev Shtayim if you threw from Rishut Hayakin into Rishut Rabim and continued to go 4 Amot into Rishut Rabim. You have 2 separate problems over there. I'm a law club, you'd see it from Rishut Hayakin to Rishut Rabim, and then you'd have Havarah, 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 Rishut Rabim. So he asked, assuming that that's true, how could it possibly be Bechayev you twice? I mean, either you wanted at point A, or you wanted at point B. If you wanted at point A, you don't want it at point B. If you wanted at point B, you don't want it at point A. You can see, of course, exactly why we got into today's Gemara. But that's the issue, is it not? And we answered, Bo'omer komakom shetetzeta nuach. Basically, we'll let this ball land wherever it goes, okay? But now, asks the Gemara. Yesterday, Ravina asked Ravashi about how it could possibly be chayav in both places. The only way we answered that, we could explain it, was that it's talking about Bo'omer komakom shetetzeta nuach, that this ball can go wherever it would like to go. Vidika amret. So, first of all, I mean, it seems to me that we've already basically described a situation such as you currently describe. And if the person had not said such a thing, he would not have been mechuyav unless it landed in the place where he wanted it, not further and not closer. You said it's a given that it would be okay. That's not true. Yesterday we didn't think it was given. Yesterday we said, well, if he wanted it further, why would he be chayav if it landed earlier? If he wanted it earlier, why would it be chayav if it went further? And you said, well, let's take for granted. If he wanted to throw it 8 and he threw it 4, that's so different than katar shem mishimon. That's what you said. All of a sudden, yesterday we had this whole discussion. Nobody brought up that possibility, which would have answered our problems. So, that's my first issue, is that obviously it's not so pushy as you're making it. Furthermore, your argument breaks down. You claim the reason that it's so obvious to you that if it landed at 4 instead of 8, it would be higher because you katav shem mishimon. How is it katav shem mishimon? Mi dami. Hatam ko kama de lo katav shem lo mitav shem shimon. When somebody hasn't kavanah to write the word shimon, by definition, he hasn't kavanah to write the word shem. Because you can't get to shimon until you get through shem. But you can certainly get to 8 amot before you get to Arba Amot. Because since the definition of Hotza'ah is not where you're flying over, but only where you land, there's no real connection between 4 and 8. The fact that I'm in the airspace over 4 doesn't mean I did a Hotza'ah 4 before I did a Hotza'ah 8. You either do a Hotza'ah 4, or you do a Hotza'ah 8, something which is impossible to do when you're writing. When you're writing, you can't either or. When you're writing, in order to get the Shimon, you have to write 8. But you certainly don't have to land at 4 and then pop up and land at 8 in order to do a Hotza'ah 8. There's no comparison to Shem Mishimon. As a matter of fact, it was rather simplistic to think of those terms.
Yes, travel for you today.
I'm sorry?
Yes, travel.
Who cares about traveling? Traveling isn't Mechayev you. Traveling has nothing to do with the Malacha other than it's part of the Hotzah. But the Hotzah consists of Akira, traveling, and Hanacha. Here the Hanacha, what were we asking you? That either the Hanacha is at 8 or the Hanacha is at 4? And all of a sudden today you're saying, well, no, after all, I mean, how are you going to get to 8 if you don't do Hanacha at 4? That's what you're saying, you don't do Hanacha at 4. Because that's the only way to compare it to Shemi Shimon. Nobody in his right mind is going to suggest you need to do Hanacha at Arba in order to get to Shemana. So your Pshita is by no means Pshita. Ah, I don't accept your argument, Bichlav. Now, what we were talking about in doing various combinations of Hotzaot, up until this point, what were we talking about? You could go from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim Be'emtza, that was the case in the Mishnah. We talked about whether it's B'diuta Achad, or it's B'shtei Diuta. You could go from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaRabim, there Rishut HaYachid. Over there, we spoke about a case where it was in a Rishut HaYachid Mikura, so you had a baseball going to somebody's living room. If it wouldn't be Mikura, then it's the issue of Kuta Kamishun Chadanya and so on. Then it's by no means obvious, because that would depend on that Machloket. We had a case where you go from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim and continue to do a Hotzah in Rishut HaRabim, and over there in Okinami, if you do out Kuta Kamishun Chadanya, you did a separate Akira V'Hanacha in Rishut HaRabim, so then you would be chayav a separate thing for Havar Arba Amot, we said, and then that was the question that we had. Would you be chayav two, or would you be chayav only one? And how exactly are you chayav Havar Arba Amot, are you chayav, as we spoke about, told them about Kamav issues, and are you chayav if you had an intent that it should land at point A, but it actually landed on point B, and it would depend on the case. Okay. What we didn't think about, which is a very curious thought, actually, now that you come to think of it, is that the case of Rishut HaRabim, to a Rishut HaRabim, through a Rishut HaYachid, did not address the question of whether between the two Rishuyot HaRabim on either side, there was a Havara of Arba'an of Rishut HaRabim. And that's a fascinating point, because remember, Rishut HaRabim itself has this strange quality of being constituted of relative spaces of each person. So if I move, or of each point, of beginning, in other words, we define each space by where it begins, and then where it ends. So that it's possible to be motzi from any point outside of Arba Amot from that point. We're going to see later on that actually the real meaning of this is that we have to draw a circle that has as its radius the shiur of the maximum hotzah at any point. So it actually comes out to be an inscribed circle with a square around it. But we won't get into that problem right now. So, I'm just mentioning it because it's so spatial oriented, and it's the definition of what those Arba Amos are. But how about, in this case, where the Rishut HaRabim that we're talking about consists of two separate areas, at least relative to Rishut HaYachid Be'emtza, could you include the two Amot that it went in the first Rishut HaRabim, ignore Rishut HaYachid as a no space, as far as Rishut HaRabim is concerned, and then continue another two Amot on the other side of Rishut HaYachid, and then be Chayav also for Ahavara, without necessarily needing to go the full Arba Amot in one Rishut HaRabim, because we had constructed an either-or situation, you know. You went from Rishut HaYachid, then you went to Arba Amot to Rishut HaRabim. Now we had a different case, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid in the middle, another Rishut HaRabim. What you could have done was just adjusted that second case a little bit, so that the total distance that was covered by this ball was also two Amot on one side, two Amot on the other side, and then we got both Havara and Hachmasa and Yitziyah, beautiful. I mean, might as well go all the way once we're looking for Chataot and so on. No, I said you have also Hotzah. That's what we discussed. Which is Rabbi Mikura, that's considered to be Kamandamalian, would be considered to be Anokar. And of course, according to those sheets, all the Kuzkabi Shulam Kadamya obviously would be considered Anokar. So, remember, we had a number of different levels in this. We had, let me just remind you, throughout the Masechta, this discussion of whether we could split traveling into parts consists of, or the earliest level consisted of, the question of Mahalik Ka'omid. Remember? Here we're not dealing with it, we're talking about Zoria. But Mahalik Ka'omid was a separate question, whether we view the act of walking as consisting of separate steps, each one of which ends and the next step begins, in which case, if you take a separate step, then you've done a Hanocha, so to speak, because you're at rest, even though Hanocha, in the technical term, is defined at rest for purposes of rest. Remember that even if you're walking along the street, you're adjusting your burden. You stop for a moment, adjust your backpack, that's not considered to be Hanacha, because he wasn't Omid Lefush, if you don't hold Mahalik Ka'omid. So the furthermost extreme is actually the way we come out, that it's not considered to be a hanukkah at all, unless you specifically set it up. The next step up is in walking, and it's considered to be separate steps. Then we have this question of kluta, kamisha hunkadan. And then we have the furthermost extension was even if I don't hold of any of the above, but if it's a bishulah yachid mikurah, and then beta kamandamal yadamya, then we should view it as if it's in a solid substance, so to speak. And it's impossible to describe not at rest in a space which has also definitions on top, because then the entire thing has very clear coordinates. So at any point, I can actually place it within three dimensions, because this space has three dimensions and ends on top and on bottom. So that's considered as if it's full. How could it not be Muna? By definition, it's Muna. Fine. Those were the levels that we've discussed so far. No, not in Rishut HaYafid. Rishut HaYafid is Eilav Rakia. Rishut HaRabim, it has to be with him. Yeah. Zrika. Unless you learn Zarek Mimoshi. And it doesn't have to be within 10 Tfachim. Life is never easy. It depends which shot you take in the Machlokas Rav Yekiva and Rabbanan, whether it's because we're Yafin and Zarek Mimoshi, or whether because he holds Kluta Kamishu and Chadad, right? Just keep things simple. Yeah. So now, this is what we want to raise for the first time here. At the second two dots, Tod Rabbanan, Hazarek, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid Ve'emza, and you throw it a total of Arba Amot, so that it covers four Amot on either side, then Chayav, because even though it's not Mekorah, and I don't know if Kut Kvishun Chadamya perhaps, but I still have the Havara, Arba Amot, Rishut HaRabim, because I don't care if it's two separate Rishut HaRabim. I don't say, well, now wait a minute, it only went two Amot here, then it entered a new Rishut HaRabim. Because the point of Rishut HaRabim is that we're not interested in its definition as a Rishut to itself, but rather we view it as the extension from the point at which we began the Akira. So for all intents and purposes, you traveled away from that place in Rishut HaRabim, Arba Amot. What do I care which one? What do you mean a Rishut HaRabim? Which Rishut HaRabim? The point of Rishut HaRabim is that it is not defined by the Chitzot. So you're trying to tell me, well, it's a specific Rishut HaRabim, there's no such thing. That's the whole idea. In which case, if it's pachot me'arba amot, you would be patur, because I don't hold kluta kamishu unchadayim, as in fact it was flying through a reshut hayachid, which didn't have a roof on it, is meaningless, because it never landed there, but I would be mechayev you on the arba amot ha'avara for reshut rabim. My kamash, well, what's the chiddush? That's a darn big chiddush to us, because we never looked at it this way, did we? A kamash on reshuyot mitstarfot, first of all, telling us the very important chiddush, that different Rishuyot HaRabim are not different. It's a whole different way of looking at it, because we're so used to focusing on the difference between Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid that we tend to think of Rishut HaRabim as a specific Rishut, whereas the whole point of Rishut HaRabim is that it is ill-defined as a specific Rishut. The moment that we'll turn it into well-defined Rishut with Mechitzot, it is no longer Rishut HaRabim, no matter how many people use it. That's the whole idea. So if a Rishut HaRabim remains a non-defined by Mechitzot space, then by definition, they're all the same Rishut HaRabim. What do we care about the defined spaces in between or in the middle? You're going to tell me that if I have a highway that has in it a store in the middle, you know, where you pull in and you get your gas and so on and so forth, that on either side of the store, it's a different highway. Well, it's not a different highway. In modern terms, we would look at it. It's a highway with a store in the middle. So essentially, the world consists of Rishut HaRabims, with interruptions of Rishut HaYachid, obviously excluding Karmelit because of the usage element and the ability to use element, but that's the way to look at it. Therefore, Rishuyot and HaRabim are going to be mitzvah.
Even if Anocha after two, and you can take a rest after two, continues after two.
That's something else, then you would be Potter, because you never did, you did never were mostly Arba Rishut HaRabim.
That's the continuous
Akira Anocha. Akira movement Arba and Anocha. Now, obviously, not everybody holds to this. I mean, we had the case before of Rabbi Yossi, where he talked about l'shtei rishuyos, when you would be high of l'shtei rishuyos, you must be rishus hayachit to one rishus and then to another rishus. And he specifically spoke about a p'tur because rishuyos had arba mitzvahs. So definitely nothing to take for granted. It's kamashma.
But it's tausen and it's just yachit, doesn't mean it's the kamashma.
No, then of course. Yeah, because that it didn't go at one time arba amos either in rishus
ra. Maybe the case is one of the Jewish town, the other one is the
no. And furthermore, we have another chiddush. Obviously, I mean, if you're telling me you're not chayiv on the havara Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid in the middle, because it was still moving, it's got to be that you hold that we do not say the lo amrin on kluta kamosha l'chadamya. Because if we did, then of course we'd have to add the achnasa problem, the otzah problem, besides the havara haram is Rishut HaRabim. Okay, now we start the question of the opposite case. The case that we got closest to was a case of going through somebody's living room window. But that was where you went from Rishut HaRabim into another Rishut HaRabim, through a Rishut HaYachid. But how about the opposite case? Rishut HaYachid with Rishut HaRabim, the Korah, the Emza. We never talked about that case, about it would be a Rishut that was to Mandamal Yadamia. We say the whole street is to Mandamal Yadamia because it's well-defined. Ah, says the Gemara, that's the point. A well-defined Rishut HaRabim in that sense is not a Rishut HaRabim. For that matter, even if it doesn't have Mechitzot, but it only has a roofing, it's no longer Rishut HaRabim by definition. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, HaMa'avir Arba'am of Rishut HaRabim Mikorah. And you can see why we bring this up now, because this is precisely what's on our minds, thinking about the cases that we just had. The din would be that you would be potter, because it's not a Rishut HaRabim. Lefi she'eino domeh l'digle midbar. That's not the way that the midbar was at the time that we defined the nature of the Rishut, which was the Malechet HaMishkan, and therefore we have no basis for seeing this as a Rishut HaRabim. Ask the Gemara a fascinating question. Because l'cha'ora, the agalot that were used for piling up the crochet HaMishkan on, which we know we gave to B'nai Merari, and some of they needed to carry these with trucks and so on. So what happened is that after you pile on the Karshei HaMishkan, they are obviously going to be Mikorot. But even if we assume for a moment, and in the end it turns out that this is a correct assumption, but let's assume for a moment that these are the equivalent of girder cars, like you have in the on trains, in which there's no bottom to the car. We simply stack the steel pieces on it, and it's supported by a girder work, not by a bottom. Let's assume that that's what they were. So they were basically a square on which we loaded the crushing. Once you load the crushing, for all intents and purposes, it's makora, right? Because it's covered with the crushing.
There's no
these things were very high. Remember, you have in mind a caterpillar tractor, okay? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about something that has to carry immensely heavy things. Very large things, these were 10 amos, the crushing. And what you're looking at is basically, you're not living on the farm for a while, have forgotten the size of these things, really. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome when when something is struck by a tractor driving by whose wheels are a good deal higher than your height. It's like, what? That's the feeling that you have when you're standing next to an elephant. You mean they really are that big? So these things were quite, we'll see, were enormous. So exactly what we're going to be talking about. So now these wagons were mikorot. Rav and this Weimer that you just quoted was Rav Huna Amar Rav, yes. And Rav himself quoted Rabbi Chiya as saying that the agalot, when you were standing under the agalah, or between the agalot, you were in a Rishut HaRabim. So the agalot tachtehem. Ubenehem, Bitsidehem, was all Rishut HaRabim.
Why underneath would they be Rishut HaRabim?
Why not?
See, that's the four walls around you, that's the wagon itself. So the wagon's big.
Well, that's a quote we're going to see whether that has a bit of a wall. But when we're talking about Lechora, the Tachtehem, Ubenehem, and so on, what we mean is we're going to have either the distance between the wheel and the body. That's the only pain in him, it turns out, that there is. Or between, it's going to turn out, we might be talking about between the places where the crushing were stacked. Let's give it a little time to see, because obviously that definition is going to be what's going to solve our problem. But, I mean, the assumption over here is that any area underneath, as you say, any area underneath would be Rishut HaRabim. And according to you, the area underneath, by definition, is covered by the crushing. How could any area underneath be Rishut HaRabim? Ah. He didn't mean underneath the whole wagon. What he was referring to, Kika Amarav Bidarata. He was talking about in the spaces underneath, meaning those spaces where there was no keresh, that area was indeed uncovered. So the assumption being that we had, let's say, a pile of two crushing, obviously we'll get into, can't really be like that because we're healed over. But let's assume we have our pile of two sets of crushim piled up. Now, because we have four wagons, we're going to have to fit 12 crushim on each wagon. And we're going to have to figure out how we do this. But let's assume for a moment that we've got a pile of crushim on one end, a pile of crushim on the other end. And then you've got this long land. You've got enough room in between the Koreshim that it's not Mekorah. And that's what he was referring to. Walking in the space where there's nothing above you.
So is that under the flatbed, so to speak?
The Gemara is going to ask later on, wasn't there a flatbed?
Or on the flatbed? Or?
No. On the flatbed is a Rishon Le'Akiv, because it's more than a Sitofen. And more than 4x4, more than a Sitofen height. But right now, however, the Gemara is rightly assuming that there was no flatbed. And this is just girder work. Okay, so assuming that you could arrange the Koreshim in such a way, maybe that's what Rav is referring to, and there would be no problem of its being Rishon Rabbi Mikura. Yes, the Gemara, it's impossible. It simply doesn't work out. If you measure it, it doesn't work out that there should be an area that was uncovered. Because remember, in order for an area to be uncovered, it has to be more than Lovud. Once it's Lovud, once it's within 3 tefachim of anything else, then halakhically, it's one solid piece. Okay, let's make a simple cheshbon. Mirti. Ur chadag ala kama havoi. We'll see later on that the length of each one of these wagons was 5 amot. The putya, the kerish, kama havi. Now, what was the width of each of these krashim? Remember that each of the krashim was an ama and a half wide, an ama thick, and 10 tefachim high. And we're going to construct a mishkan later out of these to see how they fit together on today's daf.
Amot.
Yeah, they were enormous. I said 10 tefachim. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. So now, obviously, we couldn't have worked. The only problem is that it doesn't work. You cannot get an area that's not covered. Because let's analyze it. You've got 5 amot long. Okay. Put you the keresh, kamehavoi. How wide was the keresh? 1.5 amot. Okay. How many layers of the krashim can you have on this flatbed? Kama motiv. Well, obviously, if you have 1.5 and it's divided into 5, you can only have 3 stacks. And that way you'd have 3 stacks of 4, giving you 12 on each way. Just what you need in order to have your 48 krashim. Okay. What does that leave you? So, Kama motiv, how many stacks? Talat. What does that leave you? It leaves you, obviously, 1/2 of an amma, because 3 times 1.5 is 4.5, and you had 5 ammas here that were available. A half an amma is, I'm afraid to tell you, just right for Lovud problems, okay? You've got to stick this half an amma between 2 stacks.
Three stacks.
And amma is 10 tefachim.
6 tefachim.
And how many six?
Mm-hmm. So you got real problems. You ain't going to have no Lovud, obviously.
1.5.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got, it's all going to be Lovud. So now what do you have? When you stick the remaining 3 tefachim into 2 places between the 3 stacks, you have Lovud, because you have less than 3 tefachim in each area. So there goes your Bane HaKrashim. There isn't any Darat. Well, says the rabbi, wait, hold on a second. You're making an assumption here. Your assumption is that the Koreshim were lying on their width. Actually, they weren't lying on their width. And if you think about it, there's a very good reason for them not to be lying on their width. I mean, you think, well, I mean, any intelligent person is going to put them on their width, isn't he? I mean, we got to put them on the thinnest side so they can fall over. Oh, yes, you will. Because you can't put them on their width. Because they had rings that were sticking out that held the Adanim that went, they have a place now to put these the sticks between the rings that held them all together so that they shouldn't fall apart. And those things were not removable. They were implanted deep inside a ring that stuck out into the wood. How are you going to put them on exactly? What are you going to do? So therefore, what we really wanted to do is have them on their edge. We put them on their edge with the rings facing out so that they would be able to be flat. We had no choice. Okay, so let's try the cheshbon again.
Rings are only on one side or both sides?
Rings are on one side. So let's try this again. Let's try it again and see if it works. Fine.
Let's stay with 1.5 and 1.5.
Well, let's try it. Achud on one aflo. Okay, sof, good. Okay, but bottom line, let me try this. Sumcha de keresh kamahavi. Okay, the thickness was how much now? The thickness was 1 amma. All right. You've got 5 ammas of space. You cannot put the 5 ammas of space. You cannot put more than 4 layers. first of all, even if they didn't have rings sticking out to take up space and therefore don't allow you to put them up, we never place things right up against each other till the very edge and have them scratch up and try to compress them so that they're exactly even. But certainly when you have rings sticking out, there'd be no real way to put them up against each other. So therefore, you were going to have them backs of them up four layers, right? Four layers are going to fit on a flatbed of five amas, each layer being one amma wide and three kushim tall. Okay. If that's the case, you're now left with one amma free. Problem is that you've got to scatter this one amma between three spaces, because you've got four piles separated by three spaces. But if you scatter an amma between, unfortunately, amsa, yishadalei mar beni ubeni, if you put six tvachim between three spaces, last I heard, you got a problem with lavud. So again, you've still got a completely covered, at least technically speaking, a completely covered wagon, which shows that apparently completely covering a wagon doesn't mean that it's not a reshut harabim underneath it. So apparently a mikorah is still a reshut harabim, and you're claiming it's not kediglei midbar. And here we have a perfect example of how it is kediglei midbar. Now, says the Gemara, but you're also still making an assumption. Your assumption is that the krashim are one amma by one and a half amod by 10 amod all along. But not everybody agrees to that, you see. There is a shita that the krashim were made on a diagonal in a teepee sort of format, so that when you viewed them edge on, you were looking at a right triangle. And if that's the case, then as they came to their top, there was basically lots of space because you didn't need the amma of the keresh. And this is in our focus. Hey, Yikilamani Makrashim El Matanovian amma and the Milamala Kalan Olkanat Ke'etzba. Now, if you hold like the Mandiyamar who says that they were triangular from the edge and that on top they were only one etzba thick as opposed to an amma thick, okay, you've got a lot of space there and that answers your problem. Shop it. We'll take a look in a moment. Now, what are you going to say according to Mandi Omar? And we'll see that this is not focused. What are you going to say according to Mandi Omar, who holds that the Krashim were not actually rectangular, they were triangular. And according, not triangular, but rectangular. According to him, we just proved that there is no way to have an uncovered wagon. The wagon would have to be covered.
With the Krashim.
My Ikalamema. Now, just to give you, can I just use this one?
Sure.
This is the machlokas right here. This is the mandiyama that is ama milamata umilamala, which is the way that you generally think of the krashim. This is the keresh according to the other mandiyama, who holds that the keresh came up to an ama on top. Now, obviously, if you're thinking about putting these krashim together, and you've got any chush habinyan, you realize that the edges are not going to fit, and that therefore when you come to the corner, you're going to have a rather strange construction of little pieces sticking out where one side is going in, the other side is coming out, and of course the Gemara is going to say, you better take your knife and cut it down. So that you ended up having a teepee-shaped mishkan on the edges. It's actually quite attractive if you think about it. So that everything fit together on a nice angle when it came to the edges. Well, here is the finished product, right there. All cut down neatly on the edges. Lovely finished product on page 10 of your Bikitsuras. See that?
It
appeared to be leaning in.
Exactly.
Tet. The tet on the left side.
You wouldn't accept cut out of the corners.
It is cut out on the back. It's been cut out. Precisely. Look, it's been cut down to almost nothing. You've got one etzba, and it all meets up at that upper end. What you have to do is basically cut off here the piece that was sticking out. So one of the corner keresh is shaped very strangely.
Only one.
What's that?
Where is the krashim?
No, the corner krashim are shaped strangely.
So
yeah, that
two on each corner.
Yes, the two. There's only two corners. The other corner was left open. The front of the mishkan was open. So the two corners are shaped funny. Very funny.
The inside looks flat.
The inside looked perfectly flat. Exactly. Couldn't tell this from the inside.
Looks like a long side.
Okay. So this makes a tremendous nafkamina to us in terms of the Shutra being surprising. Because if, now you'll ask, as Tosfos does, hold on a second. According to Ramandi Omar, that says that it was triangular, you have a very simple solution, put top to bottom. And then you don't even have to come on to the cheshbonos that we're going to be making now about, you know, how were they stacked with the rings sticking out and back to back and so on and so forth. You're going to have lots of room anyway.
Yeah.
Right, because you can stack, them back to front. Tosfos has an interesting... No, the rings are on the outside. Yeah, outside. So Tosfos has a fascinating answer to this, which is that a 69 position is inappropriate for the mission. Because Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'lo Moridim. You can't put the bottom next to the pot. It's not kavod. It doesn't matter. But you're taking something which is not mechubad and you're putting it up to the area that is mechubad. That's any way of looking at it. Wow. Simply not mechubad. And that's his main objection. He brings a very simple logistical answer, which is that if you're loading the krashim, the difficulty of turning a 10 amma high teresh the other direction is enormous. I mean, it's just a crazy way to have to... You're adding so much extra trouble, do you imagine? Like if you back the truck up, the mishkan are right up against the truck, you lift it on and it falls over the truck and everything's great. But now you're going to have to take it, you're going to have to move it away, twist it around. Remember, you're talking about something that's almost 20 feet long that weighs a ton. And you're going to put it back up. Forget about it. It's just not logistically viable. Another interesting point that you wouldn't have thought of that. Okay, but anyway, if you hold that Lamaisa, the Krashim, were rectangular, not triangular, then how are you going to explain Rav? Omer of Kahana Ba'atbai. What it's talking about over here is they were stacked Ka'atbai. Now, Rashi's Pshat Ka'atbai is as paper clips. He says his own shot is that an atba is a paper clip that is used by sofrim to hold pieces of paper. And obviously, the metal paper clip is a rather recent, fascinating invention, by the way. It went through quite a few variations until it actually worked the way we're used to it. Surprisingly, take for granted the simplest things that end up having gone through many, many steps in their own evolutionary history. The paper clip is a fascinating story, but we won't get into it. But the original paper clip was more like what we would call an old-fashioned clothes clip. If you remember, the old clothes clips did not have a spring. They just were wood. You would put them over the line, and they would, because wood has a certain amount of give, it would grab the clothes on the line. Fine. Matter of fact, I think things were much better that day because my house is filled with half clothes clips. It never happened in the good old days when clothes clips were just a piece of wood. Okay, so essentially, if we understand that what we did over here was stack up these two stacks, and Rashi says, think about it. I mean, forget about the problem of the rings. Do you want to have separate stacks that are so completely and absurdly balanced on a one amma thickness when you've got to have now over here these three layers of 1.5 amas? I mean, it's just the center of gravity. It's ridiculous. It's just going to fall over. You're bumping along a midbar, and you're doing the most ridiculous kind of stacking you could possibly do. What you want to do instead is you want to have them back to back. You have them back to back with the taba'ot sticking in the opposite directions, and that way, when they're back to back, they basically strengthen each other so that you have two thick and less high relative to the thickness piles on either end of the agala. So if you do that, then you're left with the whole arm in the middle. Because you've got two armas on one end of the agala, two armas on the other end of the agala, which includes all of your crushing, and in the middle you have the extra arm. No problem of loving. Six pocket right there in the middle. With the rings, of course, sticking out. Well, there's plenty of room between the rings. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
That's only assuming the rectangular size.
Yeah, we're only coming down. We don't have a problem with the non-rectangular size. So, therefore, says Rav Kahana, that's the way we would stack it. Rashi says, I was makabel from my rabbeim, that the word atvai means the rings. And in order to avoid the problem of the rings, we stack them back to back so that the rings would be facing opposite directions and they wouldn't hit each other. Which sort of boils it. No, Rashi's macabre, it doesn't like the soul of the world. So the Adabai Echa Manachlu asks the Gemara, now wait a second, where were these stacks? These stacks were above the framework of the Agala, right? But you've ignored the fact that there's, I mean, isn't there a flat bed on a flat bed? So what about the Agala itself? There's a bottom to the Agala, isn't there? I thought there was. Agala Gufa Mikurahavi. Isn't the Agala itself a skadasun? Doesn't it have a bed on it? Omar Shmuel B'yitigut. No, it does not have a bed. It's simply a girded framework in order to stack the Kreshim on. Why would it need a bed? It's not holding anything else except for the Kreshim. Okay. Now, let's analyze how they fit together. Don Rebbe, being as you've raised two possibilities for the Kreshim, obviously these two possibilities are going to put together a Mishkan that's got a different shape. Not only that, take into consideration that when you cover the Mishkan, when you cover the Mishkan with the Uriot as measured in the Torah, you come out with a completely different construct if you're missing that extra thickness of an Amah on top. Because when you put the Uriot over the top of the Mishkan, we're assuming that you're going to be covering the thickness of the roof. But if there is no thickness of the roof, because it came down to an etzba on either side, then the whole shape of where, how long did the Uriot reach is a completely different picture. I'll leave by these two shitas. It's remarkable. And that's it. So it isn't just a question of what it looked like from the outside in terms of the Kreshim. It's also a question of what the balance was of the Uriot to the Kreshim. Fine. So let's take a look now at these two shitas. Tzadon Rabbanan. Kreshim milamatan ovyanama milamalan kalin vahofin ad ke'etzva. We know that this is where the other sheet is, we'll see in a moment. We know that the Kreshim, while the given measurement of the Kreshim in the Torah is that they're Ovian Amma. By the way, I think also mention to you that one of Tosus's other approaches about the question of why not stack them 69 is that they were not a triangle, but actually what they were was a rectangle with a triangular top. In other words, they didn't start at the very bottom, and to some extent we have no choice but to say that, because since they fit into the Yitedot, they ended in the Yitedot, which had to fit into the Adanim. We're certainly not going to say that the triangle began in the place of the Adanim, because they had to have the pegs that would fit into those silver bottoms.
Right.
So that means that one Amma at least, which was the Amma that fit into the Adan, the two Adanim at the bottom, was in fact square. I mean square, but rectangular, not triangular. So that means on some level we're going to have to say that it started at one point, it started taking that triangular shape. Who's to say, says Tosus, that it started right at the bottom, that we would be able to stack them that way? Maybe it was at some point, maybe another Amma higher and so on. So that would explain why they wouldn't be stacked that way anyway. All right. But so now, the bottom was in fact Ovian Amma, at the point that they were inserted into the Aden. But they then gradually tapered off until they were only one etzba thick on top. How do I know that? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vihiuta mimilemata, v'yakta v'yutamim al rosho." Now, what is tamim al rosho? The word tamim. There's two ways of understanding tamim. Tam v'nishlam. What does tam v'nishlam mean? Translate. Huh? So it's two words for whole. Whole and whole. That could be read. Whole and complete. Or I've ended. It's finished. And complete in its being, finished. But you're right, it's certainly a play on words. Because when I'm saying Tom, I mean it's finished. Which is bad news, because it's all over. Or I can also say it is completed, which means that it is filled to the brim, so to speak. Which is almost opposite in its meaning. Now, if you take a look at the story of the crossing of the Jordan, where the water had to be tamu nichritu, obviously tamu nichritu didn't mean it was completed. It means it was finished. The water trickled out to nothing. So if I understand that it means tam over here, tamim elamala, that it trickled down, so to speak, it tapered off in terms of a solid material. So what the pasuk is saying is that the Kreshim began with an Amma, but that they tapered off. And that's how I understand the meaning of Tamim. Give it Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemia says, oh, please, Kishem Shibil Matan Ovianama, Kakmil Malan Ovianama, because in that very same pasuk that you're so conveniently ignoring the first part of, which is Viyuto Amim Ilamata Viyakdav Yu Tamim, and I say that word Yakdav, obviously means that the whole thing went up together, meaning that it's all the same level. Well, I mean, doesn't he agree? It does say Tamim. Tamim means, says Rabbi Nechemia, what you always think it means, namely that they have to be whole. They can't be made out of plywood. That's what it means. The Leitu Shleimim, Velo Leitu Denisra. You cannot make the krashim out of plywood. You can only make them out of solid wood. Certainly can't make them out of what they use in this country, sibit.
I
guess for the midbar it's not that bad. But it's fascinating that this Gemara has very, very practical implications for tefillin. Because the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that you need a pasuk tamim to tell you that plywood is not kosher? Most learn the reason that he doesn't hold it is based on a sugya in the Goyim, in which Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that anything that is made out of a compressed material is not considered to be made of that material. It doesn't have a shame of material, like a felt. In which case, when it comes to the Shaila of Tefillin, one of the biggest questions of Tefillin is, can you take pieces of leather, press them together, separate pieces, and have that considered Or Echad, which is the way that they used to make most of the Tefillin. Nowadays, in which Tefillin are made like they've never been made before in history, you know, we don't have these problems anymore. Hydraulic presses, laser cut, perfection, and so on. I'm telling you, Chazal would have seen our tefillin, they would have been convinced that she had to see it. But anyway, so this is the question. The machlokes are Nechemia and Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the construction of the Mishnah, which is not all that surprising, since tefillin, of course, are your bait tefillah. The theme of your tefillin are essentially your Mishnah. So it has to do directly with the question of how the Kreshim and the Mishnah were made. It's amazing. But anyway, getting back to the sugya, so according to him, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that you can't bring plywood. Of course you can't bring plywood. So lo leisid in Israel. Now, what does he do? He does nami aktiv yagdav. How does Rabbi Yehuda explain the fact that it says yagdav, which means they should all be the same? No, that just means that they have, doesn't mean they're the same on top and the bottom. Ahu, the lo lishlechu finu mehadadi. That only means that you have to make certain that when they're put into the adanim, that there can't be any difference in one of them maybe sticking in a bit, one of them moving out of it. It has to be a completely smooth wall. That's what Yachadav means. So Bishlam Lamanu Kishim Shul Matan Ovianama Kakvilam Halan Ovianama. If we understand that it was a rectangle, that would explain how we put the Mishkan together. Because it says in the Yachadav Mishkan Yama, on the south side of the Mishkan, you put in on the west side of the Mishkan, you put in Shishak Rashim. Now Shishak Rashim does not cover the thickness of the Mishkan, because Shishak Rashim, each one being 1.5 amas wide, only covers 9 amas. The inside of the Mishkan was 10 amas. And therefore, it adds in the Torah, Ushnei Krashim Tasem L'miktu Ot. You have to add 2 special Krashim for the sides on the north and the south of the western edge. Okay, let's think about those. Hatya Puta Dahani Mamare Le'lesumcha Dahani. What you have over there is, one, remember, each one of those 2 krashim will be 1.5 amas wide. 1/2 of an amma on either end covers the missing 1/2 of an amma that the 6 krashim were covering. There were 9 ammas, leaving 1/2 an amma on one end without a keresh, 1/2 an amma on the other end without a keresh. Okay. 1/2 of the 1.5 ammas on each end was used up for the inside of the Mishkan. The extra amma was the thickness of the keresh on either end. So you ended up with a perfect square. Everything is very nice. But if you hold, as Rabbi Yehuda holds, that they came up to an edge, boy, you have a mess when you get to the edge. Because you have the upper part of the keresh is now sticking out along the west to the north and the south like these little wingtips. What in the world is it doing there? I mean, it's about as beautiful as those old wild chrome tails on the cars. Well, they probably put in little blinkers up there and said, well, I mean, that's horrific. And then it was so. How did you get the so then, I mean, one is going in on the north side and the south side, It's coming up to a point, and on the west side, it's sticking out outside of that point. Again, you can take a look at the picture on Doc Tip at the bottom. You can see how ugly this would be. Bottom picture. And there's no way to avoid it. I mean, you can't possibly cover a triangle precisely with a rectangle along its end. It doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara. Obviously, we're going to have to cut down the edge of the Keresh. The Shafilu keep touring. And you do the same thing you do on a mountain, basically. A mountain is not a triangle on one edge. It's a triangle on every edge, so to speak. As long as you're a perfect mountain, you cut it down, it's coming up to a point. These things were coming up to a point, which was the picture that we saw on that set on top. So after we cut it down, we're left with a mountain in the corner. Now, Abriach HaTichon B'Tocha Kereshin, Tana B'nei Saya Omeh, the middle Briach that goes in HaKatzeh HaKatzeh, it's rather difficult to design a wooden Briach that bends when it gets to the end, circles around, makes another bend, and comes up the other side. Boy, the plumbers would do an awful lot for a briach like that, right? But that was actually a miraculous briach that held the whole thing together by going through the middle. As Tosfos points out, the braisa, the Malachat HaMishkan, which is what Rashi builds on in the Chumash, the braisa, the Malachat HaMishkan, obviously does not hold like this Gemara, because what it says is that the briach HaTichon was on each side, a separate briach HaTichon, because you had five brichim for each side. You had the half briach on top and bottom, and then you had one single briach that went to the middle. Excuse me, would you mind closing the door? It's left open. Okay, but according to this approach,
what it calls the tichon,
it's the middle between the three layers.
That's on the outside of the board.
Yeah, it's between top and bottom. The tichon is a single one,
but it's not through it.
It doesn't go all the way through. Yes, exactly. It was just, all of this is based on the rings sticking out, not things going through the middle of the question. Each had, according to the Bryce of the Malachat HaMishkan, each had its briach.
But Tzelach HaTzedek doesn't mean that one wall.
Right, exactly. Okay, then the Pasuk says, and I'd like to understand the difference between the two Shitot, Rabbi Yehuda and Nehemiah, as to what the Mishkan looked like when we put the Yiriyot on the Mishkan. Now look, it says, it's starting from the bottom. At HaMishkan Ta'aseh Eser Yiriyot, we're told to make a Mishkan of 10 separate Yiriyot that were made of Sheish Vazor, Chelet Vargaman, Vatalat Shani, and so on and so forth. And then it says, Orech HaYiriyah Achad, Shmona Ve'esrim Ba'ama. Each one of these 10 Yiriyot was 28 Amos long, and it was Rochav Arba Ba'ama, was 4 Amos wide, and each one of these Yiriyot, they were then put together in order to cover the Mishkan, and they were put together in the middle with buttons. Okay. So now, let's figure out. We're taking 28 Amot, and we're covering a building which is 10 amos high and 10 amos wide. We don't have to worry about the length, because the length will be the function of 10 times 4, which is the orech ha-yiriyah, times the number of yiriyot. But let's just figure out now the width of the Mishkan, which was covered by the length of these 28 amos long yiriyot. Okay. So shari urkayo leputya Mishkan. Take the length of each of these, put it across the width of the Mishkan. What do you got? You start with Esr and Itzman, okay. Dal Esr le'igra, let's take off 10 for the roofing, because it was 10 amos wide. You've now got 9 on each side that are left, which is 18 plus 10, 28, okay. Now, according to Reb Yehuda, where you only had, you took that entire 9 now and dropped it along the edge of the Mishkan, what you have left is 1 amma on the side, because the sides were 10. Now this is not precise, because you also have the diagonal that you have to take into consideration of the 1 amma thickness. Because, I mean, after all, it's there, it didn't just disappear. It's just that you don't have to go across it as a square. So you gain the diagonal of the triangle in order to bring it down to the bottom. So according to Reb Yehuda, you get almost up to the Adanim, because the bottom amma was covered by the silver Aden. So you've got Megalia Amad Adanim on each side. The Aden was uncovered, plus a little bit extra, which was needed for that etzba and the additional diagonal. Right? Okay, according to Reb Nehemiah, boy, you got a real bald spot. Because according to Reb Nehemiah, you had to take off a full amma on either side, on top, for the Keresh. So you've got, besides the amma of the Aden, you have an amma of the Kereshim, which is also exposed. All right. Shari putya l'urka de Mishkan. Now let's take the thickness and go along the length of the Mishkan. how thick, how long is the thickness after we put the 10 together? We've got 40, right? Because we've got each one being 4 amas wide, we've got 10 of them. So we've now got a total length of 40 amas. So kama havin arba'in. Now, the Mishkan itself was 30 amas inside. Mm-hmm. 30 amas inside of floor space. So let's take off those 30 amas of floor space. We've now got 10. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the full 10 travels down the bottom. And therefore, even the amad adanim was almost entirely covered. Obviously, we have to worry about the etzba and the diagonal. According to Rabbi Nechemia, on the back, the amad of the adanim was left uncovered. Now, this, you would say, is a strange way to put something together so that on the back it has a longer cover than on its edges, and it sort of ruins what you would think would be the harmony and symmetry of the Mishkan. However, the Gemara will point out later that the Mishkan is meant to look like a woman whose robes are sweeping along the street as she walks. Now, with that imagery, you no longer have her symmetry. Right? We're not looking at a Greek Mishkan. All right. Now, take the next Esser Yeriyot. What we... A picture. You don't have any pictures?
How it drapes.
No, well, we didn't get to the drape yet. We're not up to the drape. Okay. Now, what we should do is stop. I think. Because we've been here a long time. And we're missing our dear professor, our leave. And we're certainly, we've done a daf because we started halfway up on the other daf.
And
we do have a monomaniac. Yeah. Thank God we did that. We'd never get our men together.
Another issue of people might not participate in keynotes that should have more keynotes that
were hiding. Right. We are holding our Zara at Pshita. Pshita nitkabin izog shmona, vizarak arba. Hari katav shei mishimo, nitkabin izog arba, vizarak shmona mao. Mi amin en haafik lein? Vod yomar, kech et boi, hodo na. Now wait a second, my mind doesn't really begin to look at you. Voma lei, voma koma kom shetit setanua. Besides which, logically, doesn't even make sense. Kamer, hare katav shem yishimon. Wah, ma pitom yidami. Hata kamer lo katav shem, lo mitav yishimon. You're going to claim that hata kamer lo zorek arba lo nizdak lo itzmani? Tanu rabona. Hazorek mi rishut rabim, rishut rabim, rishut hayasid be emza. If you get our dhamma between the two of them, chayr. Pshit, pachot mi arba amok pot. My kamashkulon, a kamashkulon, A, yishiyot mitzarfot, and B, the law in a clue to be shown come. Over to Rabbi Yoram Rebabam Rabbi Yoram Rabbam Abir Arbam Ot Bershut Rabbi Mekorah Patur Lepishay No Dome Letikla Nidba Eni Viha Agalot Mekorot Avgan Viyom Arab Nishum Rabbi Chi Agalot Akpeyem Beinehem Sideyem Rishut Rabbi Kikom Arab Bidarata Oh, if they were for the Agala Kamahavi Chamisham Puti the Kereshame Kamahavi Amtu Pau So, Kamamuti Tlata Actually, Palgadi Amta. He said in Mar Beni Beni, it's loved. But me Sabri Krashim Akutai Lavi Maraklu, Akudan Maraklu. Even so, Sub the Kerish Kamei Amta. So Kama Havi Motiv Arba'ah. Poshele Amta, he said in Mar Beni Beni, he still left loved. Same Nichlamanim Krashim Lam Atan, Ovian Ama, Milbalan Kalingo, Hinakets, but fine. But Laman Yomer Krashim Shimilamatan, Ovian Ama, Kav Milamala, Ovian Ama, Michael Mimar. Omer of Kahana, Ba'atabai. Okay, Ba'atabai, Echamonaku, Agaba de Agala. But the Agala grew from the Kurahavoy. Omer Shul, no, the Agala was made of Yetikot. Then Rabbon, Krashim Milamatan, Ovian Am, Omer Lamatan Lokanat Etzba, Shema Yu Tamima Rosho, Lalan Omer, Tamu Nichritu, Divirvira. Rabbi Nathaniel Makashem Shimilamatan, Ovian Am, Kagmilabalan Ovian Am, Shema Yagda, Arotik Tami, Udalati Shlemi, Vladati Denisa. ואת המשכן תעשה עשר יריות או עבר יחד שמונה ועשרים באמה שתיור חייב פוטי למשכן כמה הווי עשר נוצמניה דל עשר באיגרה ואשרו תשע והגיסה תשע והגיסה ברב יהודה מגעי העמדי הדנים ולכן מגעי העמדי קרושה שר יפוטי יהיו ליוחד למשכן כמה הווי ארבוין דל תלת עם ליגרה Ashlo Asara. Rabbi Yehuda Mikvas Yamadadanim, Rabbi Nechemya Negalya Es Yamadadanim.
Nothing found out with the other side.